This is like every hero I have is on the show today. This is so exciting. It's always a thrill to welcome Linda Lavin to the roundtable. Not only is she an amazing actor and entertainer, she's also a WAMC listener. This Saturday, April 28th, 2018, she will present Portrait of an Artist at 5 o'clock in a benefit performance for the Spencertown Academy by Linda Lavin and Steve Bakunas. The event features Linda and Steve in a 90-minute intimate evening during which she answers questions about her life and career posed by her husband while he paints her portrait on stage. It's an evening of warmth, romance, humor, and nostalgia. The couple have performed this all over the country, and they bring it to the Spencertown Academy for a wonderful, wonderful cause. Linda Lavin is here. So is Steve Bakunas, actor, carpenter, director, musician, painter, and well, and husband to Linda Lavin. So how are you? It's what a great pleasure to have you both here.
It's lovely. Great to be here. Thanks.
It really is.
Well,
you know,
thank
to be
you
a
very
fan
much.
And to finally see you face to face.
It's lovely.
To listen to you and to tell you how much you and Alan and your round table mean to us and how I can't imagine being in this world without you.
Well, thank you. And right back to you. I mean, the beautiful art that you have given us and the wonderful work that you have given us, it's quite extraordinary. How did this particular idea come about of taking the strengths that the two of you have and put them together in a way that you can work together, the way that you can travel together and give the audience a meaningful evening?
Well, Steve and I met in 1999, just before the millennium change, in Wilmington, North Carolina, where I had been living for over 15 years. Steve had just moved there from the Northeast and the West Coast, and he and I met. We were involved in the theater community, and Steve is a visionary. You just had Rockwell Kent, curator, on the show, and all the things that are listed about Rockwell Kent. I looked up while you were interviewing the gentleman, and I said to Steve, "This is you." Steve is an artist, as you just said, an actor. He took an automotive garage and turned it into a theater in Wilmington, North Carolina, and we ran our own theater for 5 years. Mm. We did 3 productions a year of all American plays. We took turns directing, producing. Steve built the theater and then designed and built all the sets. So his artistry takes him to many of his skills, many of which, like Rockwell Kent, he doesn't know how to do, and then he makes a commitment to do them and does them better than anybody. So as we ran our own theater, we were sought out by the Osher Community College, and they came to us and said, "Would you do a fundraiser for us?" And they proposed an idea we didn't care very much for, and Steve came to me and said,
"What if people like to find out about Linda's life?" And I thought, what if we got on stage and I tried to paint your portrait while asking questions? You know, just something fun. I mean, if I had thought it through, I wouldn't have suggested it, because it was one of the scariest, you know, moments of my life, because I paint from photos. Sometimes I do plein air, but this was a moment where people got to watch me, you know, struggled to chase after her image with some paints. But it was great, and we found that, you know, we could do this.
So how much of it is planned in the sense of the questions that you're going to ask at any given time?
I asked, when we first did this, I said, okay, now we need to rehearse here. You know, we need to figure out what we're going to do. She says, nope, we're going to be who we are in the moment and let it, you know, as we always do. And that we did.
Rehearsal is not my favorite thing. I love to perform. And of course, I love to explore material when it's new and fresh. But this being what it seemed to be, an in-the-moment exploration of who am I now and what are you going to do about it if you're going to paint my portrait in front of people with an easel facing them, by the way, facing
right.
the audience, so I don't see what he's doing. The first time we did it, Joe, the audience suddenly gasped. And what Steve had done, because he pushes paint around, he uses acrylic. And by the way, he's an established painter, a recent painter. He can tell you about that in his life. But he had done shows in Wilmington and sold. So he was known in North Carolina, in the area we lived in, as a painter. All of a sudden, he painted my face out. The audience gasped. There was no face anymore. And he turned to them and said, "That's okay, I've got 10 more minutes." And within those 10 minutes, he found the eyes, he found the face, he found the essence of me. Yeah. And all the time I'm talking, which as you can tell from this interview, I love to do. It's like, shut up. And so ask me a question and I'll answer it and go on and answer something you don't even ask. But I love the experience of being in the moment and being improvisational. And so Steve was willing to do that. Out of it came a painting of good size, which then gets auctioned off, because what we do these evenings for is as fundraisers. Yeah. We do them, and we've raised upwards, we raised $10,000 at the Vineyard Theater in Manhattan a few years ago in one night. The painting gets auctioned off, and people pay to come and see us, and they learn more than they need to know about both of us, I think, by the time the evening is over.
With that said, it would seem to me, though, Steve, people coming in, you have an idea of what they're interested in about when dinner work, right? I mean, you have to cover some of that, I assume.
Not really. You know, we mentioned, you know, it's good to Google, you know, because you could find out the facts. But I'm more interested, as I'm getting to know Linda. We've been together 18 years,
yeah,
and we're evolving. And, you know, I'm curious. There's a lot of things that I'm curious about. It's like, was your mother jealous, you know, of your career? And there was a point in the moment when I was painting where I had that thought and I asked her. And, you know, it opened up a whole thing. So, you know, people, I guess, a lot of, they want the dirt. They want, you know, strange stories. But, you know, like, I have some ideas of what I want to ask, you know,
right,
to start it out. But I'm not, I really don't know, because the crowd is different in every venue, you know, and some people don't care what you say, they just love her.
And the portraits turn out differently every time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And just to make a point, I'm self-taught, and I have a style, you know. People seem to, you know, who buy my work say, oh, I like your style. It's a little quirky, it's a little impressionistic. So if someone's coming for lessons, please, because I'm you know, I have no palette. I'm not clear on my palette a lot of times. I just throw paint on the palette and put it up, and it's not always, you know, precise. But, you know, it renders an image. So I believe at the end of the night, you look at it and say, okay, I can see some resemblance there. But
oh yeah, there have been people, there was somebody who didn't show up for the painting when she bid for it, so I got to keep it. And I love his portraits, and I love his work, and I love his portraits of me, because he always captures something of the truth in me. It's, as I hear Steve talking to you about it, I realize it's an evening of storytelling. It's my story, who I am now, who I was, if it comes up in the memory,
yep,
and his visual storytelling of who he is as he sees me. So it's an interesting night for people. It's a visual treat, I think.
And if that's not enough, we bring our dog Mickey.
Oh yeah.
Beagle Jack Russell mix.
Oh man,
he's a rescue, but he's a sweet dog, and he just sleeps in his bed, and so it gives the audience plenty to look at.
He's very calm. He is. He's not anything like
a
Jack,
and
doesn't how very much so. Yes.
And is that your dog?
There he is. Look.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really stressed out, isn't he?
That's a sweet, sweet dog.
Very sweet dog. A rescue.
What is your and you're not singing. You're just telling stories.
That's right.
And
yeah,
you, well, man, what a career! Wow, what a career!
Huh.
How do you think of it? I mean, have you checked off all the things on the list that you've wanted to achieve?
you know, I'm about to open at the Carlisle, the Cafe Carlisle in Manhattan. And in 2 weeks, Steve is my drummer.
Yeah.
And with Billy Stritch, the great Billy Stritch. We did an interview when I was about to be at Helsinki. And it's a new show. And I'm going to do an homage to Bobby Short because that was Bobby Short's palace.
Absolutely.
But the Cafe Carlisle has been on that list for a long, long time. And I'm finally invited to play there. So I guess now I can die. But there is, you know, there is no bucket list, Joe. It's so interesting. You say, what a great career you have. And I'm sitting here thinking, thank you, but I need a job. You know, I'm wondering, you know, and that's, I think, the life of the actor, of the artist.
Sure.
Is, what am I doing now? And if I'm not doing it, who am I? And so I'm struggling with that in terms of my personal identity. Who am I if I'm not a whirling dervish, if I'm not busy, if I'm not doing, if I'm not performing?
Oh, that's fascinating.
And so I live upstate now, you know, not far from here. Stephen has just built and designed a new 5-suite inn, a B&B called the Country Suites in Spencertown. So that's who he is now. And I'm part of it because I helped him decorate it. It's about to open. It's the most beautiful inn.
Mm-hmm.
He has a caretaker. It's ready to go. And so life has always been about what's next. I'm really looking at what's now. How can I just be?
I was having a conversation with Christine Lottie the other day, and she was talking about the same thing of just not, people look at your work and they say, my God, oh, this is wonderful. You achieved this, you achieved that. Okay, but I still have to pay the rent. You know, now
that's
what?
Right.
And being a woman and being older, well, what's out there for me? What is out there for me? And I thought that was a really interesting perspective.
Yes, she's written a new book, and
yeah,
she talks
beautiful.
About all those. That's wonderful that she's done that. I'm not a writer. I'm a singer. So I tell my story like the way we'll do it at Spencertown on Saturday night, and I tell my story in the nightclub act. But that story about growing older, being a woman in this business, and doing a series as I did at 9JKL for CBS this year, 16 episodes, and waiting for a pickup, and probably there won't be one.
Yeah.
And so what is next? I don't know. So it is about paying the rent. It is about being productive. It's not just about performing. It's also what do I do to connect with the community. And this is one of the things we can do, that Steve and I can do, is, first of all, build a B&B and serve the community where people, he did the research and people said we need places to stay, and then to do an evening like this to raise money for the Academy.
When Alice ended, you were on for so long.
Yeah.
And does that give you a luxury of time to do what you want to do?
Well, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Because being who I am, the what's next was very powerful in my life at that time. So as it was ending, I was writing to Robert Brustein, who was the head of the American Repertory Theater in Boston, where I had worked, and saying, what have you got? Have you got something for me? Because I knew I needed to get back on stage. A lot of television performers who started in the theater, as I did, never made it back on stage. And I knew I had to do that, or I would not have a life in the theater anymore. So I came to work for him, and then I got that Neil Simon play, Broadway Bound. Yeah.
God, you were stunning in that.
Thanks.
What a play.
Thank you. But I've never planned a career. What a play. His best play, I think.
Yeah.
I don't plan my career, but I do take work when the material invites me, excites me, and moves me. And I continue to want to work. I'm well beyond the retirement age, but I don't want to dip into that retirement account yet, and I in any way, financially or physically or spiritually or emotionally.
Doesn't an inn do that though? Doesn't that dip into it? I don't know. Our Mother's Brief Affair. God, you were great in that, too.
Oh, I'm glad you saw
that. What a beautiful show.
It was an interesting play, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He's a wonderful writer. Richard Greenberg. Yeah.
So, I mean, is that the kind of role you look for? I mean, that's interesting and has depth and allows you to
show different colors of myself.
Yes.
You know, that was a sweeter woman than what you'd seen before. For instance, when I did Nikki Silver's Play the Lions and played this ferocious, sarcastic, desperate woman. This woman in Our Mother's Brief Affair was sweeter, softer, and I wanted to show those parts of myself. I do have them, but they're not always the source of comedy. And so I love doing parts that enable me to, as Steve paints all with all his palette, to expose all my palette, too, all the colors, all the people who live in me.
When the two of you work together, whether it is, Steve is your drummer or he is painting you, what is does that give depth to the relationship?
Oh, completely. Because we're both in that place of wanting to, you know, express who we are, to find out who we are in that, you know, moment, and to be able to, you know, look at each other and make everything else disappear, even on a stage of, you know, 1,000 people, to, you know, we have a duet where we sing together, and to just look at each other and know that it's you and me right here. And we say that, you know, we'll travel to Africa, and it's like, wow, it's you and me here in Africa, or it's you and me here at home, or it's you and me on stage, or it's you and me. And I think that really, it supports each other. You really feel supported. I mean, when you're on stage, you want to feel that, and sometimes it's lonely if you're surrounded by people who aren't connecting with you.
It's all about connection.
That's lovely. And also, I mean, you spoke about this before, but coming to Spencertown, but community. I mean, that is so important, whether it be the Broadway community, the television community. I mean, these are communities that you've been a part of that are special to you.
Well, you know, narcissism is always so within reach, so available. and it's important.
I've seen that politically recently.
Yes, I heard you speak of it this morning, in fact. It's present in ways that are so detrimental to us as spiritual human beings. And so for me, the antidote to that, affliction, and to the possibility of I, me, what about me, the antidote to that is to say, what's best for the group? What serves the community? How can I be of service? What can I provide? How can I stop waiting, even as a performer, for the person in the wings who's going to take over? How can I stop being afraid of being surpassed? I can give. I can give back in the moment. I can stop wondering what's next. Stop obsessing about that. How? By thinking in the moment, what can I do right now? Being here with you right now, it's so satisfying, not just because I'm talking about myself, but because I hear my romantic husband talk about connecting, how we support each other, and how he said to me, it's just you and me, sweetheart. You know, when you're just about ready to go out on stage and you think, oh my God, why am I doing this? You have this fear, this stage fright, and you think, why did I decide to do this? And I remember him saying, it's just you and me. And I remember that we are a unit, we are a team, we are not one, we are two individuals who connect on a plane of creativity and emotional excitement, but that there are other people watching us, and what we get to do is give the gift, not worry about what they think. That's a big part of it.
Sure.
Critics come, you give a review the next day. You didn't like it. They didn't like it. They loved it. Who knows what they are going to think?
Right.
For me, a baseline is I want to care less what other people think about me and do what the best I can and give the gift and hope you like it.
So now I can't stop thinking about what Steve said before, but was your mother jealous of your career?
Well, it's a provocative question. Oh, it would be great if you could. It was a complicated relationship. Yeah. My mother gave up a career. My mother was a great and talented opera singer who had a brief but dazzling career in New York. You know, sang with opera singers, Reza Stevens, sang with George Gershwin, radio, early television. And then it lived in a time where they were told, women were told to go home, and she did, and she gave birth to me, which was great news for me, but not necessarily for her, because she gave up her dream, and I have pursued mine all these years and still continue to. So it wasn't just jealous; it was conflicted, She loved watching me and encouraging me to perform. And yet, how must it have felt to her to have that heartache of having given something up that was so much her identity?
To think that that could have been me
you
doing
bet.
That.
Yeah. You bet. I have compassion for her now with understanding.
Well, and we hope that all comes, right? That we get that moment to feel that eventually.
Yes.
Linda Wavin and Steve Bakunas present Portrait of an Artist this Saturday, April 28th at 5 p.m. in a benefit performance for the Spencertown Academy. Beautiful work that you're doing for them. It's SpencertownAcademy.org to find out more information. Linda Wavin, Steve Bakunas, what a pleasure. And just I love having you both here. Thank you very much. Great pleasure.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.